I have a confession to make. I'm something of a neat freak. If you could visit the rectory and open the cupboards or pantry, you'd find all the glasses and plates in a perfectly straight line, like soldiers on parade. Coffee mugs are not just in line, the handles are all turned at the same angle. The canned goods have all of their labels aligned and facing the same direction, and God forbid that the tomato soup should wind up among the chicken noodle cans. On seeing this once, my sister looked at me with sorrow and said, "You know, they have medication for this now." Another friend says, "For me, it's not OCD, it's CDO, so that the letters would be in alphabetical order." All of which is to say, I understand perfectly why the apostles want to rip the weeds out of the wheat field. It's untidy. They're out of place. In the summer after my freshman year of college, I actually harvested wheat. Not in the way described in this parable, the old-fashioned way by hand, but with a giant Massey Ferguson combine. Imagine pulling into a wheat field that may be a mile square and seeing the fabled amber waves of grain. Spectacular. But then, scattered around the field, unsightly, in fact, sometimes horrific weeds. Pestilential in appearance. Rotten, disgusting. Twice the height of the wheat, not uncommon. And it's clear to see the area around the weeds. The wheat dies, or is at least sick. The instinct, of course, is to rip it all up, that the field may be pure and healthy and clean and tidy. But the Lord Jesus is not having any of it. He insists, "No, if you pull up the weeds, you might uproot the wheat along with them." And so he is prepared to allow the wheat and the weeds to remain together until the harvest. That is, until the last day. We are in chapter 13 of St. Matthew's Gospel. We were last week as well. It's a series of parables, a unique form of literature, not an allegory, not a fable, designed to convey an essential truth that is too complex for a simple mathematical definition or explanation. Something deep is being probed in these parables. Last week, the emphasis was on the sower and the seed. And he described how the seed receives a different reception according to where it falls. That's us. Our hearts and minds are the places where the seed falls, the seed which is the Word of God. And the sower who plants the seeds, Christ himself. And what is the result meant to be? That we become children of God by the grace of adoption, that we repent of our sins and believe in the gospel, that we live the new life of grace and follow Christ in the way of the cross by the grace, yes, of the Word of God in the sacred scriptures and above all in the sacraments. But he acknowledges the word will not be received fruitfully by all. And then we come to this conundrum. The enemy comes into the field after it is sown and plants his weeds. And what are we to do? Let them grow together until the harvest. Now, let's clearly understand what this is not. This is not Rodney King theology. Can't we all just get along? That would be to suggest that whatever differences we perceive among persons and in the world are matters of taste. That there is no absolute right and wrong, and that everything finally is a matter of personal choice. And we should just learn to tolerate each other and live with each other, even if your choices would not be mine, and so forth. That is not what the Savior is teaching us. Notice that the weeds are weeds. They are the work of the enemy. The Word of God is truth. The work of the enemy, all lies. He is the father of lies. They lead, these lies, to rebellion, while the truth of the Word of God leads to change hearts and to the obedience of faith. So if the Lord Jesus is not saying, can't we all just get along, what is he saying? That in this life, before the last day, there is no way in human life to cleanly separate good and evil, true and false, because they coexist in every human heart at different times in a given life. Passion for the truth and resistance to the truth will wax and wane. Think, for example, of a Catholic raised in the faith, received the sacraments, taught the gospel, who in college gets pregnant and has an abortion. Even knowing that what she's doing is gravely wrong, she's brought to this moment by the lies that surround us all the time. Your life should not be ruined by one mistake. You have the freedom to choose. You're not ready for this child. It would be cruel to receive into your life a child you don't want. This is the best way. And aided and abetted by the lies, she chooses death for her child. And then, years later, maybe decades later, it comes home to her with great force. I killed my baby. And she returns to the Lord and comes to the church for forgiveness and the bread of life and is restored to her place in the kingdom. Now tell me, does she belong to the wheat or to the weeds? To both. At different moments along the way, as the fight between light and dark goes on in our hearts, so do we all. And so the wheat will grow with the weeds until the harvest. What we must understand, however, is that there will be a harvest. There will be a last day. The last day for humanity will be the consummation of all things, the Yom Yahweh. The last day for each of us will come on the day of our death, which is coming. Maybe not today, maybe not next year, but it will come. And we live against the horizon of our death and the certainty of judgment. And that is why the proclamation of the word must be received as an urgent message to conversion and reconciliation, that we will be gathered into the harvest rather than burned with the chaff. My friends, nothing in this life will ever be perfect. No matter how many times I straighten out the coffee cups, they always get dirty again. So it is in human life. while we, with patience and the wisdom of the Savior, let the weeds grow with the wheat. Let us never lose zeal, however, to be pure, to live in the truth, to hear and be changed by the Word of God, to be shaped by the mercy of God, of which the psalmist sings this morning, O Lord, you are good and forgiving, abounding in kindness to all who call upon you. Hearken, O Lord, to my prayer and attend to the sound of my pleading. The mercy of the Lord does endure forever. And that mercy has a name, the Lord Jesus Christ.